Talk about today is quite devastating in its context. The concepts we're going to look at are heinous. You're going to start to recognize the true evil of our world and not simply the gloss of evil that we see day to day and that we protest as patriots and whatnot. Because the true evil that rules civilization today is far more nefarious, heinous, evil, criminal. Criminal doesn't even fit. Criminal doesn't even start to cover how evil this really is. I want to start this with an idea of compassion, love, and sympathy, because this is what I hope will come from this disturbing information I'm about to give you. I was brought to this information through serendipity. I know that the universe, God, love, everything speaks to me. The universe will speak to you in methods that don't seem quite real. And people will call me a conspiracy theorist, which I am, because I see things in this method. Everything I'm about to tell you is coincidence. None of it is provable. But every ounce of it is true. So, welcome to our world.
You all know there's a revolution coming, and it's coming fast. It's just right around the corner now.
I look around and look for really meaningful signs that we're about to really change. I don't see it right now.
And we're going to look now at what some of the most popular stories of the day on CNN.com are, and definitely the Anna Nicole Smith story, but there are other stories as well. Richard Louie is live in the Pipeline Control Room, and he joins us with a look. Richard, what do you have on these random attacks? It's such a sad trend.
Yeah, teen sport killings is what it is.
Let's be honest, and if you have kids in the room, please ask them to leave for a second, because I can just be real honest with you. This is, for a lot of sick people, this is masturbation to hot women who are dead.
They say nature's been going crazy. All kinds of unusual catastrophes, like a nature hike through the Book of Revelations.
Effectively what we call propaganda.
And I'm influencing your children.
I went to sleep, Miles, and it happened.
Oh, Becky.
They were right.
I should never have left you.
Stop acting like a fool, Miles, and accept us.
No. Never.
He's in here! He's in here! Get him! Get him!
And, that's when the nightmare became a reality.
Perhaps the most shocking homeless beating happened January 12th of last year in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, when a surveillance camera captured two teenagers beating a homeless man with a bat. Police say three teenagers went on a rampage, beating three homeless men.
Okay, I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm a typical guy. I think hot women are just great. I really do. It's like I think that God has put some sort of steel in their butts and magnets in my eyes because no matter how hard I try, it's like, don't look there. With that being said, I at least try not to look at these things. And now we're doing as a society, we're not only showing hot women all the time, we're mixing it with death.
Anna did talk about death. She talked about death really from the time that I met her.
When you go out very often till 4 o'clock in the morning and you need people, you do something, things you don't even know the next day what you did.
Especially near the end of her life, where she seemed to be under the influence of drugs, And in this one, she just seemed pure angry.
Britney Spears came in and sat in my chair and said, I want to shave my hair off. And I said, well, I'm not shaving your hair off.
A moment's sleep and the girl I loved was an inhuman enemy bent on my destruction. That moment's sleep was death to Becky's soul, just as it had been for Jack and Teddy and Dan Kaufman and all the rest. Their bodies were now hosts harboring an alien form of life, a cosmic form, which to survive must take over every human man. So I ran as little Jimmy Grimaldi had run the other day. My only hope was to get away from Santa Mira, to get to the highway, to warn the others of what was happening.
What was discovered in Dahmer's apartment was horrifying. Body parts in a barrel, a human head in a refrigerator. When he confessed, the gruesome details were almost impossible to comprehend.
What was it, Jeff, that took you over the edge?
A new scientific study shows that for the first time they're finding polar bears that have actually drowned.
Aesthetic terrorism.
Maybe I should have killed 400 or 500 people, then I would have felt better. Then when I felt like I really offered society something, believe me, if I started murdering people, there'd be none of you left.
This guy is so far off in the environmental extreme, we'll be up to our neck in owls and out of work for every American.
We didn't do nothing. We're just serial killers. Sure, we got a little problem with necrophilia. I admit it, but you came to us first, right?
Madonna has acknowledged that she uses homosexual activity on stage before her fans to desensitize them. She knows that if she shows homosexual activity over and over and over again, the convictions of her audiences will be eroded. Listen to what Madonna said to a homosexual magazine.
Don, can you go back and show the shot of the woman in the thigh highs with blood all over her? You tell me that is empowering for women. I'm sorry, I just don't accept it. You know what this does?
But again,
this promotes violence in the sickest sense. You are taking beautiful, hot women in a society that loves violence, that in many times condones violence against women, and shows them like this. This is not good.
Well, I think this was meant more in a campy way, such as a slasher film.
Oh my God, it was crazy. We locked the doors and we tried to close the curtains, but they would have charged in there if the door was unlocked.
The last time I spoke to her, the last time she beat me.
So right now, Mike McConnell has now been sworn in as the Bush administration's new intelligence chief. He's a retired vice admiral. Now he heads all 16 of the nation's spy agencies.
My child
was on that video and asked to call me. And she wasn't allowed by you to call me to come home. It's on the full tape, and they can get a copy of it, Howard. Right, I'll never forgive you for it.
Let me get this straight for you.
He's agreeing with me.
Well, no, you can't give. He's giving a narrative. Yeah. Now we ask a new question.
Degree murder and two counts of attempted murder.
Of the death of one Daniel Wayne Smith.
The truth needs to be told to the American public.
His father had always had a strong yearning for large breasts. Soon he fell under Smith's spell. To the outside world, it seemed there could only be one possible reason why a young blonde stripper would want to date an extremely wealthy, frail old man.
I've been afraid a lot of times in my life, but I didn't know the real meaning of fear until I had kissed Becky.
Yeah, incredibly brutal. Another story that we're looking at now could affect a lot of us in the end, but this regards Australia. They're saying bye-bye to those regular light bulbs. What's this about?
America's next top model. Horrible, horrible pictures of beautiful models dead. This is, you don't mix gruesome death with sex. You don't do it. It's not a good thing.
It's always about a hot woman getting murdered. A lot of America's next top model is showing that modeling is not just about posing and looking pretty and doing drugs. It promotes good health.
Thank you. Coming up, Elton John wants to ban religion but celebrates his birthday in a church. The hypocrisy police in tonight's Real Story. Stick around.
What? You fools, you're in danger! Can't you see? They're after you! They're after all of us! Our wives, our children, everyone! They're here already! You're next!
You don't believe a word of this, do you? Sure, it's fantastic, but it happened. Don't just sit there measuring me for a straitjacket. Do something! Get on the phone! Call for help! Oh, what's the use?
We can't make it without the dream.
Yes, we can.
This is going to get curiouser and curiouser. When you walk out of here, I believe that once you step through that door, you'll be treading on an entirely different planet than you walked in here on. The most popular article on CNN, sport killings of the homeless. So what is going on? Is the world just suddenly going mad? Are we reaching a pinnacle where we're all ready to just explode and kill and destroy everything that we see? Or is this something that's being promoted and programmed into us? As I've looked into Hollywood and the world at large, I'm constantly barraged with trauma-based mind control. This popular show called Heroes. When I first started recording that show, because I thought it was going to be something quite intriguing and very interesting, I came out and I found a girl being, because I wasn't watching it, I was on my computer, and I stepped back in to check the recording to make sure it was going, and I see this girl getting raped on television. And I'm like, whoa, I don't want to look at that, and I turned it off, and figured I'd sit back and wait for Heroes to come on. Well, that was Heroes. And I was like, oh my God. And the more and more I watched it, the more and more disturbed it became. And I had not really recognized how desensitized I had become through all of this mainstream media of devastation. But as my roommate, who is not desensitized at all, squirmed in his chair, looking at and couldn't eat his dinner, I realized that there was something quite wrong with the world and that we were slowly but surely slipping off the edge into ultimate violence. We have many things in our world that are presented to us and we don't see their full reasoning. And so when I posted my Anna Nicole Brittany and mind control article, it actually became the most popular article on my website. I've never received such attention. When we're looking into this picture, we got to start back at the creation of civilization and lead this up forward into today. And what we find is that it's not just aspects of civilization that are evil, it is civilization itself. As we start to get to the roots of civilization, we find that it's always been this one genealogy running the world, and that these people truly are evil. There were stories of Caligula and stories of Bloody Mary, the Queen Mary, stories that keep going on, and even to Benjamin Franklin being a ritual murderer. So there is nothing sacred about America. There is nothing Christian about America. This is a Masonic country through and through. So the Masons have charge of what we see, what we witness, and what we think of as reality. And I've covered a number of high-profile rituals throughout my films. In the first one, I've covered the Y2K celebrations and all of its occultic meanings, and also the occultic meanings of all the corporate logos that you see. They can be identified and classified in a single classification, which is Masonry. And what you'll find is that our world is ruled by occultists and that they're performing high-profile rituals before us without us even realizing it. So Tex and I got a little deeper into that, and we covered the hand signs and gestures of the Illuminati, and we even covered some of the rituals that we're going to view today with Madonna, Brittany, and Christina Aguilera. But once you start seeing them giving very definitive Masonic hand signs, you'll start to realize that these rulers have a higher aspect of life. They don't, or are not raised as we are raised. These people are raised in a ritual environment, and when we're getting to satanic ritual abuse, we're talking about child pornography, sexual abuse, rape, horrible, unspeakable things. I got a little deeper into the Hollywood message and Program to Chaos, and covered quite a bit about V for Vendetta, which we're going to also get into today. And then finally, the Return of the Nephilim, which if you track the methodology of what's going on today, you'll find that it is perfectly outlined in the Book of Enoch and is the methods of the fallen angels. They taught sorcery to the women. They taught the use of drugs. They taught us to have our women paint themselves, and they also lusted after the women. And as we look today, you'll see that this is the very methodology that is going on with us today and our pop icons. So where do they come from, these pop icons? Well, the last three winners of the Grammys, Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake, and Britney Spears, were all ex-Mousketeers. Every one of them was a member of the Mousketeers back when they were young. Now, most of us think cute little Mickey Mouse is just a happy-go-lucky, very nice. You know, everybody wants to go to Disney World. I think people spend their whole lives saving up to go there. Well, Disney in reality is a military-industrial complex. Every ride in Disney World is sponsored by a military-industrial corporation. When you get off of RCA's Space Mountain, which was founded by a Freemason, by the way, you will find them programming to you what the future is going to be. And this is what these people are about, into programming what your future will be. So that's a main point of Hollywood. So when someone like Alan Moore wants to program into you a mentality, he will write a book, Hollywood, Freemasons, will turn it into a movie, and then everybody will dress up as Guy Fawkes at the next protest. This is called the butterfly effect. It's a very simple thing of placing a very small input that gives out a maximum output. The butterfly effect's named because of the butterfly wings flap, and then a tornado is crafted. Minimal input, maximum output. That's what these guys are about. Now, if you follow V for Vendetta, you're going to find that this is actually all about glorifying trauma-based mind control. And I've gotten into a number of discussions with people on how this is not good news here. This is all based on Aleister Crowley's works and the works of Adam Weishaupt, who is the head of the Illuminati, who created the Illuminati in 1776. Through and through, this is one evil book. It will glorify trauma-based mind control, and if you recognize that... we won't even bother with that clip. That what she have you all seen V for Vendetta, first of all? Okay. It's very subtle. We don't realize what's being programmed into us, but as this poor little girl is traumatized by this V, she is beaten, she is tortured, and if the story was real, she'd be raped as well. And then, of course, you know, it all begins with her shaving her head, right? And then she becomes clear. Once she makes it through all the trauma, and then she becomes clear and is able to go about her day-to-day life. Well, this is a false paradigm being programmed into you, and if you feel that, you know, trauma and rape and abuse and caging and loss of all free will is the best way to go about becoming an ultimate human, then I suggest walking up the street and joining Scientology. Become clear. Christina, Brittany, and Justin have all been used in high-profile rituals. We've all watched them, and we didn't even realize it. What we noticed was Justin Timberlake at the Super Bowl bearing Janet Jackson's breast. What we're looking at there is a high-profile ritual which has the goddess and God encoded into it, because the goddess, you'll find, she is always bearing a breast. That's where Our Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, the Lady Justice, always bearing the breast. Then she had a sundial nipple ring on her breast, and this is the God. The God is always symbolized by gold and by the sun. So this was a unification of the God and goddess, what they call the alchemical wedding. So these mouseketeers go on, and then the next thing we find is the next high ritual, which I'll show to you.
Madonna told the LA Times that she's a very tormented person most of the time. She went on to state that she's possessed by many demons. And just what are these demons doing through Madonna? Here we see that they are promoting homosexual marriage and seeking to destroy God's plan for the family. At the 2003 MTV Video Music Awards, Madonna, Britney Spears, and Christina Aguilera promoted homosexual marriage. As Madonna descends from the wedding chapel as a groom, she takes Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera in a lesbian polygamous type relationship. Why was Madonna fondling and French kissing Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera on stage before millions of their impressionable fans at the MTV Music Awards on August 28th of 2003? Madonna has acknowledged that she uses homosexual activity on stage before her fans to desensitize them. She knows that if she shows homosexual activity over and over and over again, the convictions of her audiences will be eroded. Listen to what Madonna said to a homosexual magazine. Quote, "They digest it on a lot of different levels. Some people will see it and be disgusted by it, but maybe they'll be unconsciously aroused by it. If people keep seeing it, and seeing it, and seeing it, eventually it's not going to be such a strange thing."
Now they think that this is all to promote homosexuality. I'm telling you, it's a lot weirder than that. We're looking at something that's beyond our common day occurrences, way beyond what we're noticing. This was a ritual crafted to raise these two mouseketeers to a new status within the Illuminati. At this point, Madonna goes on to change her name and become Esther. When Britney Spears walked into Esther's hair salon to shave off all her hair, people were quite shocked as to why she would be doing such a thing. As we start to look into satanic ritual abuse and the abuse of of these people, we'll see that these are the common occurrences that go on. It was the very first thing that Arizona Wilder, she was a member of the Mothers of Darkness. She was a high ritual priestess that had been groomed and raised through a program that is based on genealogy. All of this is based on DNA. You have to have the right bloodline in order to be a part of all of this. So what we are seeing here is these people being set up through the Masonic Order to be brought to the height of pop stardom and being used in occultic rituals in front of us. So when Madonna then became the Kabbalistic Esther, Brittany and Christina became their new high priestesses. And so for me, the serendipity of having Britney Spears walk into Esther's hair salon and say, shave off all my head, was too much.
Well, my assistant and I were closing up. Actually, we had locked the door because it gets really scary around here because we're set back from the boulevard. And all of a sudden, there were lights flashing, and we thought it was the police or somebody got into an accident. And they asked us to open the door. We opened the door, and Britney Spears came in and sat in my chair and said, I want to shave my hair off. And I said, well, I'm not shaving your hair off. And I tried to talk her out of it. I said, are you sure you're not having a bad day and tomorrow you'll feel differently about it? Why don't we wait a little bit? She said, no, I absolutely want it shaved off now. And as I was talking to her bodyguard, next thing I know, she grabbed the buzzer and she went to the back of my salon and she was shaving off her own hair, and she actually enjoyed shaving off her own hair.
Spears has checked herself into rehab, something many people thought she might want to do after she shaved her head. Jeannie Most looks at all the frenzy surrounding Britney's new look.
We like her hair, baby.
Beneath that hood was the shaved head that launched a million headlines.
Just call her Britney Spears.
Bold, bald new look.
Forget to be or not to be. This was to be the question.
Is this a haircut or a cry for help?
So was shaving off all her hair a way to blow off steam or a serious cry for help?
I think it is a cry for help.
The last time there was this much hoopla over a haircut was almost half a century ago.
Bad news, too, for the long hair set this year. Recognize Elvis? He lost his hair to the army.
Some say Britney lost her mind to an army of press. Maybe only her hairdresser knows for sure.
I think maybe she's overwhelmed with all the paparazzi. Oh my God, it was crazy. We locked the doors and we tried to close the curtains, but they would have charged in there if the door was unlocked.
Other stars have shaved their heads. Demi Moore did it to play G.I. Jane, and Natalie Portman shaved for V for Vendetta. Melissa Etheridge lost her hair to cancer treatments. Armchair doctors were quick to psychoanalyze Britney, hypothesizing everything from postpartum depression to outright mental illness.
I happened to be also watching The Butterfly Effect that night, which is a movie all about trauma-based mind control. It's a recipe of trauma-based mind control, starring Ashton Kutcher, who had a Kabbalistic wedding with Demi Moore, who managed to shave off all her head in a trauma-based military movie called G.I. Jane. When Arizona Wilder left the Mothers of Darkness, the first thing that she did was dye her hair brown. Britney just dyed her hair brown. Then Arizona Wilder went and shaved her head, cut off all her hair, because they want their priestesses to be high, very pristine in appearance, and they're not allowed to be brunette, and they're also not allowed to mark their bodies.
Given the extent of your programming from birth, how was it possible for you to break out of it, as you appear to have done now?
One thing that happened is that in 1989, my programmer handler died, who was Mengele. And he was in this country so much, and I was around him so much, and he had a lot of control over me. And what happens when a programmer handler dies, they usually have taught the person that they've been working with to be very, very loyal unto death to them. And that's something that they, in the end, it is it works against everything, because when they die, even someone else coming in and trying to take over, a lot of these altars are not open to that and are loyal to that one person. And in my case, Baron Guy de Rothschild is the one that tried to take over. And for some number of years, there was a lot of the time, half the time they got their way and half the time they didn't. And in major things, they did not get their way. One of the things that I went out and did in 1993 was I cut my hair off, and because I was publicly seen and known to have very, very long hair, I could no longer be seen. I could not be seen with my hair cut off short. This would have caused a lot of questions with other people that had been programmed. And they still tried to carry on with other parts where I wouldn't have to be publicly seen, because they still consider me to hold this status. And they still consider me their property. I was always told I was their property.
One question that people would ask is, given all that you know, why don't they just take you out?
They still have plans for me, and this was told to me just a few days ago by someone else who has spoken with Baron Guy de Rothschild, that they have plans for me, and they plan to try to have me back because of the psychic abilities, and that is not going to happen.
So when Brittany walked in, she had quite a smirk on her face as she finally removed all the brunette locks from her head, because she was breaking free. She's finally breaking free of the programming. Now, what you got to realize is that these people have been sexually abused and physically abused all their lives. We are not to blame Brittany or Christina or Justin for any of this. They have been sold off to these people, and this is the price you pay for stardom.
I was electroshocked to the extent that, and that my parents were told when I was in first grade that my IQ was 70 and that I was retarded, and they said I would be retarded. I always had trouble in school because I missed so much school. My school records are missing. They've just disappeared. I have medical records that are missing. My birth certificate appears to have been tampered with. I have had my eyelids taped open, and so I couldn't shut my eyes. I have been electroshocked. I've been put into a narcoleptic sleep and had earphones placed over my ears and had messages repeated and repeated for days. I've had drugs injected into my body so that my nerves were just like on fire, and then they would just touch me. I've had, since I wasn't allowed to have marks on my body, they couldn't use a cattle prod on me, but they do use cattle prods on people in torturing them, and they do use electrical stimulation to the genitals and also on the teeth. And they like to inject between the toes and under the fingernails and up in the gums. I've also had some kind of scarring done up through the roof of my mouth all the way up to the brain stem back here that gives me a photographic memory. And I have calcium blocks around the pineal gland that seem to be perfectly spaced and even, and it's very, very curious. The doctors can't seem to come up with a reason for that. I have been programmed to be anorexic, to be bulimic. For the government programming, since I was also used by this the government in this country, I was programmed to cut my arms if I started to remember, which I was punished for by the Illuminati, as I was not to have these marks upon myself. I was made to eat my own feces as a little child. I was made to drink my own urine. I was not allowed to go to the bathroom. I was placed in a sensory deprivation tank. I had my shoulders, my knees, my toes, and my fingers, my elbows dislocated and then put back into place when they wanted me to be traumatized.
So what we're seeing in Britney Spears is not a mental breakdown in the normal sense, but a brainwashing breakdown. She is breaking her programming. It's known amongst the people who do trauma-based mind control that typically you break your programming around 30, and Britney turns 26 this year. What we're looking at here is called the Monarch program. It's a MK Ultra program. If you guys aren't familiar with this, they do have every book I'm discussing here at the bookstore, so you can get filled in if you want. I'll tell you, I was pretty devastated once I finished with this whole article, and I really stopped even because I would hear everyone, you know, saying, "Oh, good, I'm glad that slut is dead," or other just horrible things that they would say about these women. When I was looking at Britney Spears in the eyes on the cover of People standing in line at the grocery, I was nearly brought to tears because I've learned what the truth is and what this really is. And so I'm hoping that you guys will also find the compassion that is due to these people, because it is not their fault. It starts elsewhere. It starts with their parents. And we're going to get deeper into that with Anna Nicole. So my point to you here is that what we're witnessing is not regular old pop star antics and not somebody trying to cry for attention. This has all been high-profile ritual enacted through a Masonic order, through these military intelligence operations. And everyone that we're going to discuss today is a Kabbalist and in connections with military intelligence. I'm going to try and jump through all this quite a bit. So, as you see, the hair, the removal of the hair, we find that, of course, Demi Moore shaved her head in G.I. Jane. That's military trauma-based. We all understand trauma-based mind control if we understand what the military is. That is trauma-based mind control. And that's where you get your yes sir, no sir, and your Manchurian candidates. When Natalie Portman in V for Vendetta shaved her head, that was trauma-based mind control done to her by a V, and then glorified through the movie. When I started to look in the serendipity of this picture, and I started to find all these interlinking connections that have no basis of real connection, but the connection of Britney walking into Esther's hair salon, or then she leaves from there and goes to Body and Soul and gets a tattoo. Well, her first tattoo was that of a butterfly and a vine. And this is symbolic of the genealogy of the Monarch program, the butterfly being the monarch and the vine being the genealogy. When she then checked in, right before she went out to shave her head, she first checked into the Crossroads rehab clinic, named by Eric Clapton, Eric Clapton's Crossroads Rehab. Well, if you understand the history of rock and roll, then you know that it began with a man named Robert Johnson, who went down to the Crossroads and met with the devil, and at that point became the ultimate guitarist. Before that, he couldn't play a lick. This is the modern urban myth of how rock and roll began. So to have Britney step into the Crossroads clinic and then walk out and go shave her head was just too much serendipity for me. But then it went on further, because there's more to this picture, and we've got other groups in there, and there's Lindsay Lohan and also Paris Hilton who fit into this whole picture. And they've been running around lately without any underwear on. They've been dubbed the anti-panty party. Some think that maybe Paris Hilton is in charge of all that. Lindsay Lohan, well, she checked into what is known as the Wonderland Clinic. And if you know about the Wonderland murders, and all of this type of topic can be found in this horrible, just, you know, great book, but horrible knowledge of Programmed to Kill. And what you find in this book is that actually what's going on in things like the Wonderland murders, Jeffrey Dahmer, Gacy, the whole lot of serial killers, is that they actually are cover for these satanic organizations that go all the way up to the top of the government. There's a film here you can get called Conspiracy of Silence, which covers Boys Town and how far up this child pedophile ring goes. Well, there was a group called the Wonderland Club, and they were a high-profile pedophile ring that sold child porn and abuse and snuff films on the internet, and it spanned 22 states and 13 countries. There was a massive crackdown, 200 people were arrested, 1,250 children shown abused and tortured by their own parents, sold to these people, and then sold off into slavery. So when I saw Lindsay Lohan, who said, well, Al Gore will help me check into the Wonderland Clinic, it was another serendipity that was just too much, because what we're following is this very same story. So we're looking at the same thing. And the curious thing I found about, this is just a little curious side note about Lindsay and Brittany, is, you know, they both have hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're both addicted to McDonald's. Lindsay Lohan, when she was just in the Wonderland Clinic, sent out a message to Bruce Jenner's son saying, you know, all I want is sex and McDonald's. And Brittany is very fond of McDonald's. I mean, if I had $123 million, you wouldn't catch me dead in McDonald's. I don't go there now. So this ritual abuse, believe it or not, goes back to gods, goddesses. We've got Shamash and Ashtoreth, the goddess, and Moloch, who has become quite popular here in Austin, thanks to Alex Jones. This type of ritual murder and sacrifice has been going on and on and on. There are a number that were considered presidential model, high-profile, mind-controlled slaves. And in this list, we have Zsa Zsa Gabor, Marilyn Monroe, Jane Mansfield, and now Anna Nicole Smith. Many of these were connected with the Church of Satan, and have also gone on to have mysterious deaths. So let's move into Anna Nicole. I hope I kind of established the idea of let's see who's next to shave their head.
First was Brittany, now Donald Trump of the famous comb-over could be next. Trump and World Wrestling Entertainment owner Vince McMahon will each pick a wrestler to represent them for the match called the Battle of the Billionaires. A WWE spokesman said if Trump's guy loses, Trump gets his head shaved. Same goes for McMahon. That match occurs the 1st of April.
You don't get $1 billion without being evil. Okay. On to Anna Nicole, mind control. And what I have here is Fritz Springmeier's How to Make Your Own Illuminati Mind Control Slave. Undetectable Illuminati. This is a recipe of how to create a trauma-based mind control slave. Fritz is now in prison. They don't want you writing such things. But this outlines it all, and there's a lot of very interesting coincidences, once again, between this and the story of Anna Nicole. What we find is that these trauma-based mind control slaves are selected by finding out that their parents are actually pedophiles and abusing them, and then they will be taken away. And this is very much the story of Anna Nicole. So let's just open with...
Who does she think she is? She's just out in the right mind for herself.
When was the last time you spoke?
with her.
The last time I spoke with her, or the last time she beat me? The last time I got a beating from my mother, I think I was 21 years old.
Our legal expert, B.J. Bernstein, joins us now for more on everything that's happened today. And, B.J., one of the things that strikes me is that dramatic moment when they played that interview. I mean, Anna Nicole Smith says very clearly she wants nothing to do with her mom.
It was really dramatic, and it was unusual because we're used to seeing some of these strange videos of Anna Nicole, especially near the end of her life, where she seemed to be under the influence of drugs. And in this one, she just seemed pure angry. And it seemed, honestly, a little believable because here she was. She had lost her child, and then her mother came on CNN and accused her of killing her own son and her lover killing her son. And so she started talking about and lashed out against her mother, her father, her brothers and sisters, alleging both physical and sexual abuse over the years. It was very, very dramatic, and it may be something that the judge really pays attention to and trying to decide whether the body should go with Virgie, the mother, or back to the Bahamas.
He said he was suckered into playing the tape, though. What did he mean by that?
Well, you know, I guess because part of it is, this is not normally when you put a tape into evidence, you have to have a foundation.
Right.
The person who filmed it or the person there has to establish this is a fair and accurate depiction. Mm-hmm. And instead, they just, you know, the rules of evidence are really, really, really loose in this courtroom. The judge will jump in and ask all the questions. He interrupts the lawyers on a frequent basis, even consults an expert who's sitting in the jury box who has nothing to do with the case but just happens to know a lot about probate law. So, you know, he's been loose with the rules, and so, you know, the truth is this is a tape of Anna Nicole, according to, you know, Entertainment Tonight, and it is very harsh words that she had for her family.
If you see that this poor girl, you know, was set up for this and that this was not her fault, and, you know, her mom really sold her off, then you start to feel a bit more compassion for these women instead of thinking that they, you know, are at the height of their careers. There was something I wanted to say about that clip, and I'm getting a little bit lost in the...
So Howard K. Stern is fighting her mom for the body.
Yes. And strangely enough, the mother wanted to bury her next to Marilyn Monroe. If you see the connections there. And the child herself is... Well, what you see, you know, the child was born, and 3 days later, the son ritually sacrificed in front of the baby and the mother. The only three people in the room were Howard K. Stern, and Anna Nicole and the baby. Now, interestingly, when Anna died, she did have a nurse with her, and the nurse then called in the bodyguard to give Anna CPR.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of very curious things to this, and really the court case put new words, or new meaning to the word Mickey Mouse court case. As I'll tell you, the judge himself was off trying to get his own spot in Hollywood. He's trying to become the next Judge Judy. And the whole court case was just totally bizarre. They mentioned there that this tape that they had shown of Anna Nicole calling her mother an abusive sexual abuser and all of this was inadmissible in court, but yet they showed it. The next clip I'm going to show you is also inadmissible in court, and why it was shown, I cannot fathom. I can't figure it out unless it was just to bring someone like me out forward saying, hey, this is trauma-based mind control. Because certainly the whole court case was set up to establish where her body would go. And each of the times, it was very curious because when they brought in this next guy I'm going to show you, Ford Shelley, he was there for the Texas side, but yet promoted having her buried in the Bahamas. They called in the father of Daniel Smith, Billy Smith, her first husband, and he was supposed to say that he was for the Texas side, and he also pushed for the Bahamas. And it was at that point where the judge said, okay, wrap it up, we're done, and just ended the court case right then and there. Mr. Ford Shelley was brought to the courtroom by the Texas side, and he is the man who claims to have owned Anna Nicole's house. He picked it out for her in the Bahamas, paid for it, and then broke in and stole the tape we're about to watch. Why he was brought into the courtroom, I don't know, because there was no point in it. That he did not even, he gutted the side that he was speaking for, and he just, they were very excited about showing us this tape.
Well, and his own witness said, no, you don't.
What else
do you
want this witness for?
It's just not.
Is it a video?
For the video and for this document.
You got the video working? Video.
Is it working?
Right now, we're going to see it.
All right.
Time. Let me inquire to the witness.
Fine.
Sir, will you identify approximately for the court what date and time that was and tell them why you know that?
And then you can object.
It was in the last part of August.
August of 06?
Yes, sir.
Why do you know that, sir?
Because my child was on that video and asked to call me. And she wasn't allowed by you to call me to come home. It's on the full tape, and they can get a copy of it, Howard. Right, I'll never forgive you for it.
Let me get this straight for the court.
Well, you don't need a repeat. You can ask a new question.
Okay. You're familiar, by the way, with Anna Nicole Smith's statement when she was sober.
She's an awesome person. Whether she was sober or not, she was awesome.
And quite frankly, I'm just going to leave this. She was impaired on that tape.
She seemed to be.
And Mr. Stern asked, is this a mushroom trip?
All right.
Next.
It's just difficult to
I understand. To hear. I understand. Cross-examination.
I got one other thing. By the way, she was pregnant. During that, when this tape was made, correct?
Yes, sir.
With Daniel Lynn?
Yes, sir.
In the Bahamas?
By the time I dropped her off there, she was fine.
I have a couple other areas.
No, I had Texas sick. I got to keep moving. Other people are not feeling so well. I have to keep going.
I'm going to tender.
Let's have a candle burning.
I'm going to tender this canceled deed to their house in the Bahamas. As evidence?
I'm going to object to the
I'm going to mark it as an exhibit, and I'll mark it as evidence. The court will look at it as a part of the facts.
Mr. Ford.
Be short.
I'm sorry,
me,
Mr.
Please.
Shelley.
Yes, ma'am.
You are currently, you were in litigation with Anna Nicole Smith before she passed away. Is that correct?
No, ma'am, I was not.
You were not.
No, ma'am.
You were not in any litigation that subjected you to a restraining order out of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
No, ma'am. And what you're referring to is in the name of G. Ben Thompson, and the Wayne Monroe, their attorney, who was the president of the Bar Association, had it filed ex parte without us being put on notice. We were never put on notice.
Okay. So your father-in-law was in litigation with Anna Nicole over the
house. Yes, ma'am.
And in fact, that house isn't yours. You said it's your house.
Actually, it was my money.
Okay. Is your name on the deed, sir?
It can be.
Whose name is on the deed, sir?
G. Ben Thompson.
It is not your home, is it?
It
sir?
Is.
Wait, is a question? Answer?
It is not your home.
It is not in my name. No, ma'am.
So, your father-in-law was in litigation with Ms. Smith prior to her death. Is that correct?
No, Anna Nicole Smith filed a lawsuit against us. We didn't file it against her.
Okay. But both parties claiming that they own the home, correct?
No, we owned it. She just made the claim.
Both parties claiming they own the home, sir?
No, her claim didn't say that. the claim that she put down actually was invalid, because if you'll read it, it says
a
conveyance.
I'm not trying a real estate case here.
I'm not. I just wanted to make a statement.
Well, she's showing bias of the witness. So you're done. There's a lawsuit.
How did you come into possession of the tape that you just showed this court, sir?
Because on the day after Anna Nicole Smith passed away, which Howard and I had a two-hour conversation last Saturday on the phone, whereas Howard called me and asked me, would I get all parties together and call Virgie for him and ask him, could we?
Well, you asked him, I got to let him finish.
Good. He asked me to get in touch with Virgie, that they would not allow him to, so that we could settle this. And I said, Howard, I said, I will do everything I can, because I'm with you. I'd love to settle this thing so that we can bury her and we can all get this thing resolved. I also said to you, Howard.
Sir, do you have any knowledge of
Anna? He's agreeing with me.
Well, no, you can't give. He's giving a narrative. Yeah. Now ask him a new question.
Did you have any chance to observe through your friendship with Anna her relationship with Daniel?
I did.
And what did you think it was?
She's a great mother. She loved him.
Did she love him?
Yes, ma'am.
What? Tell me the kind of love. Tell me the way she loved him.
She loved him more than life, and so did Howard.
And tell me where it is that you think that Anna wants to be laid to rest. Next to her son, or all alone in Texas?
I want to answer that, but would you give me the
Just my question.
Well, I have
two options. Nothing else.
No, it's not two options. She asked my own question. Where's things need to be
buried? Let him answer.
Anna, at the time that she made the decision where he was to be buried, she talked to us in detail. She wanted to be buried, first of all, in California. But she told us that she could not go back to California at that time to bury him, because she was afraid that she would be served with paternity suit against Larry Burkhead, and that she made the decision to bury him there because of that, and that's where she was going to make her domicile. And she made that decision, and she told us that she, if something ever happened to her, she looked at me and she said, Ford, if something ever happens to me and Howard's not around, I want you to take my stuff.
I'm not talking about stuff,
but she said it in the... She asked me to take her computer.
Self-serving.
Wait a minute. My possession. It was password protected. Howard, you know, she gave me the code.
Your Honor, I asked a question as to where...
She gave me the code to it, sir, and said she didn't want anybody to take her stuff.
Proceedings for taking the stuff out of the house.
We're done. Thank you for coming. Next witness.
Your Honor.
What's that?
I have about seven questions.
Seven?
Yes.
Make it five.
Okay.
Because I still have to get...
All right. Pretty explosive testimony there from Ford Shelley, who owned or at least paid much of the cost of a house in the Bahamas where Anna Nicole Smith and Howard K. Stern were living. Earlier, just a few moments ago, we saw a tape made apparently last August in that very house, and it shows a very obviously impaired Anna Nicole Smith. Just to refresh your memory and get a little commentary, legal commentary, here's that tape again.
Some of the audio obviously was a bit muffled, but what was very clear was Howard K. Stern speaking to Anna, asking her, is this a mushroom trip, which is pretty obvious what he means by that. He's talking about drugs, and she does seem to be incredibly impaired and very close to giving birth as well.
The tape. Inadmissible evidence. It's not allowed in the courtroom. Has no basis whatsoever, nobody to back it up, nobody to say it's legit. And why is it being shown? very curious. They constantly say that she is impaired. I tell you that what you're looking at there is an altar, which is what happens when you trauma, when you use trauma-based mind control. You split the mentality of these people into fractures, like a mirror. And each personality doesn't know the other personality. And what we see in this tape, and we're going to look at one more time, is Anna as a four-year-old child. You'll notice that she doesn't have any idea of what Howard K. Stern is talking about when he asks her about the mushroom trip. She has no idea what he's talking about when he says this footage will be worth money. And I can tell you straight up right now that this is a four-year-old girl mentality that you're looking at, and this is her original altar that we're going to witness.
Here's that tape again.
That's it, lost your mind. Riley thinks she's lost her mind.
Who's going to think of mind control, you know? Those people on the news, they're not going to say, well, this looks like a four-year-old altar to me. No, they're going to immediately say that she's on drugs. Her mother continually throughout the court case said, oh, I was trying to get Anna away from the wrong crowd and that she was getting into drugs. And she repeated that continuously like a mantra on every news show in the courtroom over and over again. She said, Anna was on drugs. Anna was on drugs. Well, I'll tell you right now, and I have it linked on the website, that there were no drugs found in her system. There was no sign of drug abuse at all in the autopsy. So take it as you will. How high does this go? How far can the trauma-based mind control really be?
In her book, Transformation of America, author Kathy O'Brien claims that she was the victim of a mind control program run by the CIA. She claims that George Bush Sr. used ancient magical hand signals to directly control her subconscious mind. She also claims that Bill Clinton was under mind control. In covertly recorded off-air transmissions from the Bush-Clinton presidential election campaign in the 1990s, we can see that Bill Clinton was nothing more than a puppet to the puppet masters which placed him in the White House. Bill Clinton's demeanor seems to be similar to a person who is under a hypnotic trance.
Lampy, Missouri was a place where I heard George Bush and Bill Clinton talking. From the point of view I had, they certainly were friends, and they didn't recognize any party lines between them. That's something for the, you know, a smoke and mirrors illusion for the public. It's not something they adhere to because they had exactly the same agenda, and that was for bringing in this new world order. I heard George Bush talking at that time. He was talking to Bill Clinton, and I've since photographically recorded it and wrote it verbatim in our book, that when the American people became disillusioned with Republicans leading them into the New World Order, that Bill Clinton, as a Democrat, was going to be put into the office of president. This was decided in 1984. Actually, I'd heard about it even prior to that. But that as of 1984, they were already discussing it as an absolute fact.
So I wanted to finish the thought here. That's for one break we have to hit live. Been around the world, but it's hard to believe we're being watched in 150 other countries. Crazy. Ted Turner changed the world. Big fan of yours. He would serve you that. You know what I mean? I don't know. And he's fine. He's ready. What's he gonna do? What's he got left in life again? After you're elected, think about it. No dope. That's for sure. Great guy to work for.
I love him.
Can we do any more? Let me do some more. Let me do some more. I'm going to do some more final tests. Have we done all Colorado today?
Transmissions from the Bush-Clinton presidential election campaign in the 1990s, we can see that Bill Clinton was nothing more than a puppet to the puppet masters which placed him in the White House. Bill Clinton's demeanor seems to be similar to a person who is under a hypnotic trance.
Okay. The world is not as we thought it was. It has gotten quite strange, and it is going to get stranger. We're not done with this story yet. We have not gotten to Daniel Lynn. But as you see, we are all being put into a form of mind control. Trauma through the television, trauma through our video games, trauma through our day-to-day lives, trauma in everything that we do. We find no peace. We find no salvation anywhere. We hardly even have each other to cling to these days. Like I say, you're probably going to walk out on a different planet today. Because really, everything that we believe in is false and has all been set up. Bill Clinton was put into office so that we would lose faith in the presidency. W was railroaded into office so we'd lose faith in the system. We are being psychologically set up to lose the next war that they are going to throw on us. And what we need is each other. We don't need a church. We don't need a government. We don't need anything but one another. Because that's all that's real. The rest of this is illusion. So the child. What we have seen now, and it's funny because, you know, I thought, well, not funny, but interesting or strange and bizarre, that I thought that perhaps over time there would be more things that would detract from the article I had written about Anna Nicole and Brittany and mind control. But it turns out that I keep getting further and further confirmation for it. And just last Saturday, Brittany scrawled 666 on her bald head and ran around screaming that she was the Antichrist and tried to hang herself. It was found that Anna Nicole and Brittany, Anna Nicole tried to become Brittany's friends. You see, they don't have many people they can turn to. Not very many people will understand what they're going through, so they cling together, and that's why you see Lindsay Lohan, Brittany, and Christina all in one click. They don't have anybody to turn to. There's nobody, none of us, going through the trauma they're going through. So Anna Nicole sent a video to Brittany asking her if she would be friends, that she knew that they would be mommies together. And Anna Nicole also got tattoos at the same tattoo parlor that Brittany did. I don't know, all kinds of strange little connections going on here. But what we see and what we're realizing, if you start to recognize the ritual nature of this, that the sacrifice of the firstborn is always the thing that goes on, and then the next is the sacrifice of the goddess. And, of course, she died mysteriously, no drugs in her system, no reason for death. The coroner has no clue. He says it's mysterious. But that leaves the baby and the $1.6 billion of Mr. Marshall, the oil baron. So when I'm looking at this picture, I see what has been set up from the get-go, and this poor little girl, or Anna Nicole, was given to this billionaire, married to him, because he was dying. He had 1 year left to go. He died a year after their wedding. And then the money came. But of course, there was a big fight. I guarantee you two things. We're not going to find out who the daddy is of Daniel Lynn, and she'll get the money. There's no doubt in my mind, because what we're looking here is what's called a moonchild ritual. And you can get look deeper into this. You'll find that there are many attempts at the moonchild through Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard, and Aleister Crowley to try and resurrect or raise this moonchild. But it has a lot to do with genealogy. Bloodlines are very critical to these people. If you'll find that they, you know, have sex with their sisters to keep the bloodline pure, and you find that the Bill Clinton's a Windsor, and you know, all of the bloodlines go to George Bush as a Ramses, you know, he's related to a pharaoh, you know, that's a pretty darn straight bloodline. John Kerry, straight bloodline, even more pure than Bush's. So this child, its lineage is hidden as well, as you can see. I don't know if you guys have had enough videotape, or if you're certainly, but we got one more, just two more clips going. All right. So who's your daddy?
The police control room received a call from Rutgers Hospital informing the police of the death of one Daniel Wayne Smith.
According to press reports, Anna Nicole Smith's 20-year-old son Daniel had died of a drug overdose in her hospital room.
Okay, I had left this part out of the picture. Daniel Lynn Smith was declared dead due to Lexapro, methadone, and another pharmaceutical, I can't think of the name of. I think it was Ambien, actually, the sleep aid. Yeah. Curious enough, now the autopsy, the pathologist that did this work is the same pathologist, Mr. Cyril White, who did the autopsy on JonBenet Ramsey. Yeah. So when they tell you that this man had, he's a man now, 20 or dead, but you know, that they know of the cause, think of the source.
Police control room received a call from Doctors Hospital informing the police of the death of one Daniel Wayne Smith.
According to press reports, Anna Nicole Smith's 20-year-old son did drug overdose in her hospital room. Larry Burkhead now knew he needed to act before the chaos surrounding Anna Nicole claimed Danny Lynn as well.
The truth needs to be told to the American public that I am the father of this child, and all his Howard Stern's lies need to stop right now.
Coming up, the paternity battle for Danny Lynn turns into a bizarre media circus.
I can tell you they are not the fathers.
There's a legal issue as to whether the baby being tested is that of Anna Nicole Smith. Bait and switch. Am I accusing anyone? No. I believe that Howard K. Stern will do anything to hold on to that pot of gold. Simple. I said it. That's how I feel. Deal with it.
The paternity battle quickly morphs into a bizarre spectacle when Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, Prince Frederick von Anhalt, holds a press conference to declare he may be Danny Lynn's biological father.
Well, I can tell you they are not the fathers. When you go out very often till 4 o'clock in the morning and you need people, you do something, things you don't even know the next day what you did.
Okay, Prince Frederick Anhalt. Could he be the true father of this child? Now, you'll find that the media are going to focus on Larry Burkhead and Howard K. Stern. Howard K. Stern is in no way the father of the child, but he is legally the father of the child in the Bahamas. His name is on the birth certificate. He is legally the father in the Bahamas. So he has control of Daniel Lynn at this point, as long as they remain in the Bahamas. Larry Burkhead, he seems to be pretty sure he is the father, and I feel that he really believes that. But I, when I'm looking at this picture deeper and deeper, don't believe Larry Burkhead is the father. It is my belief that it is this Prince Frederick Anhalt. Because as you find that, as I told you before, Zsa Zsa Gabor was a presidential mind control slave, along with Marilyn Monroe, who Anna Nicole wanted to be, and Jane Mansfield, a high priestess of the Church of Satan. Prince Frederick has hidden roots as well. You're going to find that each of the people that I spoke of, including George Bush, have hidden bloodlines. They keep these bloodlines hidden so that we don't see the connection. So when Hitler's mother worked with the Rothschilds as a maid, she suddenly became pregnant and gave birth to Adolf Schicklgruber. Of course, the bloodline's hidden. You don't know that that the Schicklgrubers are Rothschilds because she was just a maid in the house. Disney. His mom was a maid in a Disney house. Nobody knows where Disney comes from. You can look. Go for it. Nobody knows where Disney comes from. And now, Prince Frederick Anhalt. Evidence that I have come to find is that he is actually a genetic experiment to keep the Hitler line going. He was an experiment crafted by the Nazis through artificial insemination of Eva Braun to bring about the best and purest bloodline of the Schicklgrubers they could get, which is, of course, the Hitlers, because his dad changed their name. You can't see everybody going, Heil Schicklgruber. It didn't work. So, it turns out, if we follow all this, and I guarantee you they're never going to tell you who the daddy is, it will be Prince Frederick Anhalt, and that makes this baby a direct descendant of Adolf Hitler. She has been set up with $1.6 billion and is now being raised by a Satanist known as Howard K. Stern. If you watch the trial, Howard could barely sit in his seat. He flew all the way back to the Bahamas and then back to court the next morning. This is because you must imprint the child with the trauma-based mind control early on, and it has to be that person, their handler. And he was Anna Nicole's handler, and now he's Daniel Lynn's handler. And he would not stay in the courtroom. The judge said, well, I need you to be here tomorrow. He said, no, I'm leaving. And the judge said, well, no, you're going to be here. And he says, well, I'll fly home and I'll come back. Now, who could not get a babysitter for a night? Right? So just consider these type of things. So, yes, the conclusion of it is this baby, the ritual moon child to resurrect Hitler, has she been set up with the billions of dollars to be brought about? Is the story much deeper than we thought? And I'm going to leave you with one last clip. And I know we're all going to be a little devastated after all of this, and I certainly was, and I'm sorry that I had to bring this all to you. But I think it's very important that we understand where our leaders are coming from. Because we think that we're fighting toll roads. We think we're fighting, you know, government. They are so beyond all of that. That's just to keep you busy, so that you don't see what's really going on.
Remember that every single man, woman, and child in the state of South Carolina awakens to a freer, safer world because of George Bush. I would remind people that every single morning we all awaken to a safer, freer world because of George Bush. And Nicole, I would remind you and the people of Florence that all of us awaken every single day to a freer, safer world because of George Bush. They themselves awaken every single day to a freer, safer world because of George Bush.
Coalition for the Homeless reports last year that there were 122 attacks and 20 murders, constituting more violence against the homeless, particularly committed by teenagers. Perhaps the most shocking homeless beating happened January 12th of last year in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, when a surveillance camera captured two teenagers beating a homeless man with a bat. Police say three teenagers went on a rampage, beating three homeless men with bats and golf clubs, killing 45-year-old Norris Gaynor. They have each pleaded not guilty to one count of first-degree murder and two counts of attempted murder.
Welcome to Planet Earth from the Freeman perspective. I see a lot of... I know that's how I looked just a couple days ago. And I rushed over to my friend's house and said, I need a hug. Because that's what we need, you know. That's what we all really need. We don't need to fight the New World Order. We don't need to fight one another, you know. We need to find compassion in our hearts and start to love one another. And this is the only weapon we have against this. Because it's bigger and beyond all of the things that we've ever thought were real. And so, I know I jumped around a little bit. So if you guys want to ask questions, I'm more than happy to answer. I definitely skipped over a few parts of the puzzle. Absolutely. Now, interestingly enough, that last little clip I showed you of them deciding who's the daddy, that was produced by the very same company that produces Heroes. And, of course, the name of that company, which has a reptilian eye as their symbol, is End 'Em All. They're producing Heroes and Anna Nicole specials. So yes, we are all being trauma-based. And what you're seeing here with these children are not us. These are kids that have been raised to be exactly what they are. Once you start to look deeper and deeper into this topic, you find that the military intelligence has warehouses filled with cages filled with babies that are electrically shocked, that they're being generated. And the same with the military. You know, their trauma-based mind control. What are we going to do with these killers once they come home from Iraq? I've got a friend who's over there standing on the border of Iran right now, and he's having the worst time coping with his own feelings because, you know, the brainwashing doesn't stick and it doesn't take, and killing is not something that's natural to the human. We have to be brainwashed to do it. So when you see these boys in the 122 attacks, this isn't us. This is people that have been abused and used and have been programmed to incite chaos into our society at this time. We are once again being set up to lose. And so they also want you to believe that resistance is futile and that humans are a virus on this planet. This is not true either. We are loving, caring, generous, wonderful beings that have no place in this world that we see. Movies like The Matrix, people are so like, whoa, it's so wonderful, it woke everybody up, you know, the red pill, the blue pill. Well, if you see the subtle essence of it, you'll see that, you know, the world is already demolished in their eyes. So resistance is futile. If the world's already devastated, you know, when Morpheus says, here is your world, and it's all ruined, that's not the truth. The truth is that there is this beauty, this wonderful world that exists, and it's right there for all of us at this moment, in the here and now, but we have to turn to it. Right? We're distracted by everything else.
Sure. With that and what you were saying about being from the dead, which made complete sense concerning mind control, trauma-based mind control, do you see the Wachowski brothers as the Shakespeare of the Illuminati for this generation? Do you see them as someone who's been put in the...
Alan Moore is the new Aleister Crowley. Okay, Aleister Crowley heavily influenced everything we're seeing today. Heavily. You know, from all the music we listen to the movies we watch. The latest 007, okay, 007 is based off of John Dee, Crowley, you know, followed John Dee. The latest character in Casino Royale is based off of Aleister Crowley. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin lived in Aleister Crowley's house. Penn of Penn and Teller has the largest Satanist dictionary library in the world. They're all Crowleyites. And Crowley is so influencing our world without us realizing, and that's where we get back to that butterfly effect of the small input, maximum output. So Alan Moore is that today, and he is the one who penned V for Vendetta, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and From Hell. Now, curious, when I saw From Hell, I thought, well, why would they put this out? You know, it's all about how you can be a ritual murderer if you're a Mason. That's the premise of the movie. Oh, yeah, you're a Mason. You can get away with ritual murder, no problem. I said, well, why would they promote that? I said, they must need another Ripper. Well, it wasn't even a week later when the Sniper hit the headlines. Coincidence? Don't know. Yeah, that will be the next thing, and I want to also dig a little deeper and see what happened to the other Mouseketeers. Because Disney's evil. That's one thing I want everybody to remember. Now, interestingly enough, it should be horns. To add my own little connections to this story, my father was worshipful master in the Freemasons and was somewhat of a trauma-based, mind-controlled agent. He was definitely abused and put through military abuse. And then my mom was Esther in the Eastern Star. I was not abused, so I guess I slipped the programming. But I absolutely was raised by, in the mentality, within the Freemason realms. My mom was Esther in the Eastern Star, and she met Disney, and he handed this to her.
What is Esther?
This was straight from Disney. Walt Disney himself handed this to my mom. I also have my little Mouseketeer certificate, but I didn't bring that. She's mailing me a whole stack of them that he gave her. Esther is based off of Ishtar. In the story in the Bible, the Book of Esther, it's Esther and Mordecai, which is actually translated to Ishtar and Marduk. And so this is the same god and goddess that we're looking at. In the Bible, she's Asherath, which is also known as the Grove. She is symbolized by an owl. So. Mm.
And the Eastern Star is some kind of group, and they have their Esther for every...
Yes, within the Eastern Star... the Eastern Star is a fraternity like the Freemasons, but it allows women as well. And the five high priestesses, or the high ritual women, who my mother was one of, sit on each of the points of the pentagram on the floor. And it is inverted pentagram with the word fatal written in the middle of it, with the altar put in the center of that. And then each of the women, there's Ruth, Esther, Rhea, and a couple others. It's all in my article. Yes, we are looking at an ancient Babylonian ritual. Anna Nicole... Inanna is another name of this goddess.
So what is the payoff of ritual sacrifice?
That is the question, isn't it? You know, these guys go through a lot of effort. They go through a lot of effort. You know, the whole Y2K ritual, and I outline that in corporate logos, lots of effort, worldwide, too. And the effort it took to put 30 occultic symbols in the street plans of Washington, D.C., lots of effort. There is a reason. I don't know it. But if you know, as soon as Daniel Lin was born, they also released the Moonchild movie, Pan's Labyrinth, which is identical to what we're talking about. So I don't know. There is another side to reality, and there is a higher portion that they are using in this ritual magic. I don't want to know. Maybe someday, you know.
It might just be a tough to communicate with their adherents and let them know how they're doing, how they're controlling things.
Yeah, well, it does appear that is kind of the case, yes. Because what we find is that Aleister Crowley, through his sexual rituals with Pauline Pierce, who birthed Barbara Bush, if you believe all that, If you read my website, you'll find that I show how Barbara Bush is actually the daughter of Aleister Crowley, and therefore George Bush is the child, grandson of Aleister Crowley. Yes, he went into a sexual trance with Pauline Pierce and a girl named Nikki, and they generated a book known as The Book of the Law, which is the foundation of the OTO. And that very book is housed right over here at the UT campus at the Harry Ransom Center. His handwritten works are kept right there. And yes, that's exactly what he did, was channel an Atlantean, Iwas, to bring out the plan, the formula. And it says, bring about chaos, disorder, destruction, mayhem, anything bad. That's what was written in the Book of the Law, and that's what's housed up at the Harry Ransom Center. We're in the middle of it right here, guys. You know, the Temple of Set, I don't know where it is, but it's here. You know, the Temple, the High OTO, Church of Satan, everything's here, right here in Austin. And our universities are involved. Do you want to switch the tape? Yeah, well,
yeah, I knew that much. 6, 2, and 4.
Yes, Yvonne.
Microphone.
Oh.
Why do you think the Masons don't allow?
Wait a minute.
Oh.
Why do you think the Masons?
It's not on.
No, you're on. You're on.
Is it on?
Yeah, no, you're on. I'm kidding. You're on.
Okay. Why do you think that the Masons don't allow women above the third degree?
They don't allow women at all.
Well, I mean, the Eastern Star, isn't that basically Masonic?
Well, it is equated with the Masonic order, but it's not Masonry. I think women are too powerful, personally, spiritually. There's no magician out there worth his hoot without a woman. They always, you know, use the women as the channel, the oracle. I don't really know, to be honest, but looking at it magically, you know, it's always the woman that's the oracle, the receiver, the under, you know, the one that, the man just does all the work as far as the, you know, ritual is involved. But I don't know. But, you know, I do track this story all the way back to Shemyaza and Azrael and the fallen angels. And so they all came together to take upon the women of Earth and swore an oath of allegiance to one another. And I find that the same oath and the same tactics as the fallen angels in Mason. Well, that's kind of my point, though, is that, you know, let's quit waiting for Jesus, and let's start loving one another. Let's turn this whole thing around so that when he gets here, he doesn't have a whole lot to do.
Bravo, bravo.
How many of these people we have like this?
Not many at all.
Really?
No, 13 Illuminati bloodlines have been tracked through Fritz Springmeier. They are the small, we are the many. That's why they use so much manipulation. When GE is saying to you, imagination at work, they mean your imagination working for them. When AT&T says, your world delivered, guess who they're delivering it to? Yeah. I mean. Well, no. We need to be turned away. We need to quit serving them. You know, it's our power that they use. So they are totally powerless without us. That they use all of this brainwashing, all of this programming to keep us in line serving them. There's not a human here that would start digging gold, I guarantee that. How many of you have wanted to go back and just start digging a big pit and, you know, that's not human nature. That's not what humans do. That's not what civilization is not human. It is an implantation upon us. Humans provably have lived on this planet for a million years, if not longer, in the current state we are in, but yet never had this type of civilization. And all of a sudden, these pyramids got planted down on top of us, along with all the others around the world, and we were put into a control grid. And that's what we're witnessing. We don't need oil. We don't need money. We don't need gold. We don't need any of those things. You know, let's return to being hobbits and worry about food and growing food. You know?
Think Mark
I do, yeah. Most of Hollywood, really. I mean, you look into John Travolta's eyes, look into, Ray Liotta's eyes. Ooh, he'll frighten you. Yeah, unfortunately, because what we've got now is a nice filter of Freemasonry. You know, every corporation is owned by a Freemason. I can prove this, and you can just Google famous Freemasons, and you'll see that they are the filter with what rises to the top. So, yeah. Pretty much once you get up there, even if you don't know it, you're being used.
And didn't she go crazy and shave her head or something?
Yeah, I don't know. I know that she was always, it was the same story, she's on drugs, you know. That's their cover story, you know. That's why the mom kept saying, oh, Anna's on drugs. I don't know. She was abused. Yes, Terry.
Once you get past a 33rd degree Mason, get out of it?
You never, once a Mason, always a Mason. Because really what we're looking at here is a type of programming. So you go through your own special trauma-based programming when you go into a temple. And once you're in, you have given your free will over to the order. That is the first requirement. There are two requirements. One is that you believe in God, that you believe in a higher being. Because without that, they can't use you. And the second is you come of your own free will and accord. You must give your own free will to all of this. And I believe that is the reason they show us what they're going to do before they do it. Because that, we acquiesce. We give our own free will and say it's okay. So.
What about the guys in my little town of Wimberley who have the Mason pancake breakfast once a year?
And we're not talking about them.
We're not talking about them, of course.
Yeah.
We know that, but
that's what you call
you
porch Mason.
When you go to the temple, and they go to Waco to the, I forget what they call it, some bigger temple or something. So I'm thinking, is there something like?
Well, they definitely gave up their free will to the order.
Well, that's what I wonder. I mean, like, what's going on with them? I figured that at that level, they just, you know, it sounds like nice, you know, spiritual stuff. You know how they present it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what the Shriners are all about.
It's the same thing once you get up to the roots of the Vatican, you know? It's the same thing. I'm not saying that, because the Vatican's just the flip side, flip coin of Freemasonry. It's the same coin. These guys are the same pedophile ritual bastards that are ruling our planet.
The Pope was a Nazi, I mean.
The Pope is a Nazi. Yes. And our current Pope is old Mr. Ratzinger, a former Nazi. It was shown that the Marshall fellow that Anna Nicole was put together with was a Nazi. And then now the baby, of course, is a Nazi. Not by choice, but by birth. So, yeah, and you know, the Nazis were very, very, very into the occult and were going into a lot of... a lot of effort once again spent on the occult.
So if you know somebody that said they used to be a 33rd degree Mason and they got out of it, how could you tell if they're still in it?
I don't think you could tell that they were in it either way. I lived with my father for 28 years and never knew he was a Mason.
My father was a Mason.
Yeah. You know why? Yeah. My father never told me a thing, ever. But he, of course, being a Freemason, was in Project Blue Book that chased flying saucers, built nuclear missiles, was on a submarine with Jimmy Carter. Because once you're a Mason, that's what you get. And that's the whole thing, is what's the price that you pay to reach the top? And do you really want to get there? Yes. You know, that's kind of a funny tale, but it's also in my film, Chronicles of Freeman. I used to wear his cufflinks as my Battlestar Galactica insignia when I was a child. If you really see the synchronicity in that and you realize that Battlestar Galactica is based on the Mormon story, which was founded by the Masons, then boom, boom, boom. And that's why they're known as Apollo Starboat, Adama. That's the Mason creation myth, and or Mormon. So if you recognize the extraterrestrial roots being put forward by the Mormons, then you might start to understand the extraterrestrial roots to Masonry. I'm ready for a break. How about you guys? Thank you.
Everything in that I ever had in my life, and anything I held dear in my life, I was bred for this role that I fulfill, and it was planned from before my birth, and it was because of the bloodline of my mother's family, which comes down through Ireland, but before that it began in France. It was through the Marquis de Stock, which he came to Ireland and changed the name to Stack, and then I was chosen, and the birth was planned. My parents were forced to move down to this area for the reason that the High Council is down here, which is there are 6 councils of 13 in this country, and the High Council is down here.
We're talking the United States.
The United States, yes. And so from the time that I was a baby, I was being abused and traumatized and on purpose for the mind control that they need someone to go through to do whatever they say, to be as just a puppet in you know, that they can control every move. And you don't remember. I didn't remember a lot of things, because I have, as a result of all of this mind control, split off many parts that all hold memories, hold feelings, hold programs, hold information, and I've been working very hard to pull all of that up, and it's been a long, slow process for me, because there don't seem to be a lot of people in the field that I only felt was the only way I could go was psychiatric and psychological. They don't seem to know what is really going on, and I believe that a lot of them are afraid of being sued should they suggest something, and so they cannot lead or suggest. And it's been a process of me having to trigger myself to remember.
If you wanna be with me, baby,